we're doing Kids Sunday today because because we're adjusting our schedule a little bit to work with last week we heard Brian Blazer shared, so we're a bit off schedule, but we wanted to have a special message for, especially for you kids and for you young people. But I think, I don't know about you older people, but I sort of like the stories too. So anyway, we hope there'll be something for everybody. So I want to ask you, how many of you know about mining? Doing like mining for different minerals in the earth? Have you studied that? Okay, few of you? Okay. In the 1850s and 60s, there were some gold rushes in the United States, and people would go out west and they would go hunting for gold, and they'd get their shovels and their equipment, and they would go and mine for gold. So when they got there, do you think that the gold was just laying there in a nice little pile for them, and all they had to do was just scoop it up and go back home? What did they have to do? What did they?
They get like pickaxes and shovels and be digging around the ground for it.
Yes, they did. What were you going to say, Aaron?
I was going to say they dig tunnels underground to find it.
It was a lot of work in many, many days, right? Well, do you know, reading God's word is sort of like that. It's like a gold mine, but it does require some work. It's not just easy.
Like now,
yeah, what's that?
To the Bible.
Yeah. So, when I was teaching at school, we had an after-school Bible club, which we called Good News Club. And we were inviting the kids to come to camp one year. And there was one boy in particular that I wanted to see come. His name was Nathan Merkel. And I said, Nathan, are you coming to camp? And he said, oh, no, I can't. I've got a music recital, blah, 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 blah. But he said, I want you to know something, Mr. Hansen. I am reading my Bible, and I am all the way to the middle of Deuteronomy. Fifth grade, boy. I was pretty impressed. Because to get to Deuteronomy, that meant he had to get through half of Leviticus and half of Exodus and Leviticus. How many of you know that that could be kind of like difficult gold mining? So, yeah, Alan is honest. Thank you, Alan. So, yeah, I remember as a kid, that was the hard spot for me, too. And then you get to Numbers, and boy, there's some interesting stories in Numbers. And, you know, there's interesting things all over the Bible, but you have to work that out. You have to continue. Mr. Brian Blazer was telling us how important it is to read the Bible straight through, because it builds. Chapter 2 builds on chapter 1, and chapter 3 builds on chapter 2. You see, you have to know what's before to make sense of what comes after. Does that make sense? So, boys and girls, if you can read, I would encourage you to read the Bible. And as you read, you will encounter some difficult words. That's guaranteed. And if you come across a word that you just don't know, ask your mom or dad. They will be so pleased to find out you are reading your Bible. Yes, Ian?
My mom pretty much reads a chapter
of
the Bible every day.
Every day? Wow. Yeah. That's terrific.
Pretty much every day.
Good. Keep it up. That's good. All right, so if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 106. By the way, I'm going to have another operation on my mouth, probably in September, so I'm hoping and praying, you can pray with me, that my voice will get back to normal after that. But in the meantime, I'm very encouraged with what God said to Moses. Moses was very concerned about his mouth. Do you remember what God said to Moses about his mouth? Do you remember? Do you remember?
I was wondering what the verse was, so...
Say it louder.
I was wondering what the verse was, though.
Oh, it's doing kind of just work through several as we go today. But just find Psalm 106. All right, so you know what God said to Moses? He said, I will be with your mouth. I really like that verse. I've been asking the Lord to be with my mouth too, so you guys can understand what in the world I'm talking about. Okay? Can you understand so far?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank the Lord already. Okay, so we're going to look at Psalm 106. Now, last time, let's just take a peek here. Verse 9. Who would like to read that? Verse 9. Abby, go ahead. Read it loud, but your life depends on it.
He rebuked the Red Sea also and dried it up, so he led them through the depths, also as through the wilderness.
Good job. Okay, who would like to read verse 10? Okay. Jocelyn, go ahead.
He saved them from the power of the adversity, and he redeemed them from the power of the enemy.
And then who would like to take 11? Okay, Aaron.
The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived.
Excellent job. Thank you, Aaron. The adversaries is another word for enemies. How many of you ever heard of an enemy? Enemies are bad, right? Yeah. And you know the enemies of Israel were Pharaoh and his army. Remember, they had 600 chariots. And they were after them, and they were not friendly, were they? They were going to do harm. And so God made a pathway. And they went right through. And God delivered his people. And when all of his people got through the Red Sea, God commanded the water to return. And it returned and it destroyed Pharaoh and his armies. How many of them were left, did it say, Aaron? Do you remember?
None.
Not one. Heaven.
Well,
I think we talked a little bit about that last time. You know, the thing is sometimes animals have to suffer because of people's stupid mistakes, don't they? If a person has a horse and they don't feed it, the animal suffers, doesn't it? So that's one of the sad things about living in a fallen world. In a fallen world, things don't always go the way they're supposed to. Ian, did you want to say something?
But the Bible says to love the people
around us. Oh, yes. That's very true. You see, the thing is, though, is that we're really not going to learn how to act unless we come to God, right? And we're going to find that out today in this lesson, is that not only animals suffer in this sinful world, but people suffer in this sinful world. And sometimes people make themselves so miserable. In fact, sometimes you are miserable, and I am miserable because we sin. Is that possible? How many of you have never been miserable? Oh boy, I guess we've all been guilty of some problems then, right? Okay, so let's look at this a little bit. By the way, I got to figure this out again. All right. So this is part two, and we'll just take it as fast or as slow as we need to go. Okay? Now, when I read in the Bible, I highlighted some things here that I thought might be important to remember. Do you ever underline little parts in your Bible just to kind of help you remember? It's okay. You can actually do that. And sometimes I come across a hard word, and I'll look it up in a dictionary, or sometimes I ask my wife. She's pretty smart about that stuff. And you could probably ask somebody too, right? Like, for example, Ellie, you could ask Soraya, right? Or Soraya could ask, probably not Logan, probably, but maybe somebody who might know what that word means. All right, so one of the things that I think is important for us to know about God is that we need to learn to fear God. Does that seem kind of strange that we should fear God? Well, let me give you an example. If your mom or your dad say to you, I would like to have you do this job for me. I want you to do it promptly, without complaining, and I want you to obey me. And what if you go ahead and do it, but you kind of sneaky-like do a little complaining and muttering under your breath? And what would happen if your mom or dad were to hear that? What would you think? Would they be sad? Might be kind of sad, right? Because you didn't really obey with the right spirit. Okay? Now, what if, though, you just were so angry about this job that you were going to do with your brothers and sisters, that you were to go and tell your brothers and sisters, I don't think we should do this. I think we should rebel and we should just do what we want to do. Do you think that kind of attitude shows any fear, respect for your mom and dad?
No.
And that is what we're going to learn today about the Israelites. They did not respect God. This way. And they did not fear God. They didn't understand that God also sometimes has a rod. You know what the rod was for? You know? Like spanking, yeah. Except he did it kind of in a different way because they were adults after all. But it was just as painful, wouldn't you say? All right, so fear of God. It's important to listen to God, to fear God. When God tells us something, we need to pay attention. And so this psalm really teaches us three things, in my opinion. It teaches us about the problem of sin, and we all have this problem. Even after we're saved, it still gives us trouble. And we learn about God's righteousness. God does not sin. He never sins. He never has. He never will. And he will judge sin. And with judgment, that can be a very fearful thing, especially if we're not saved. If we're saved, then our judgment is passed. We pass from death onto life. But we might be chastened, which is another thing with the Father who loves us. He wants us to be good and to act right. So there are lessons in this chapter that teach us those things. Okay, let's move on. All right, so other lessons is to remember God. And I'm convinced that a lot of our problems are because we forget about God. We just have such a short memory, and we fail to trust him. Now, I'm going to check you on this later, but I want to just say this, is that throughout this story today, we're going to see that the children of Israel, you know, the ones that God saved out of Egypt, those people, as he saved them, and they were coming out early, even before they crossed the Red Sea, they were already concerned about things. Oh, they were concerned. How are we going to get through this wilderness? How are we going to get across that Red Sea? And they got all concerned, and then they got mad, and then they started complaining and even criticizing. Just like that. And I would like to suggest to you boys and girls, and all of us for that matter, is that when we get concerned, that's all right. Being concerned about things is common to all of us, right? But rather than get mad, let's pray, right? Let's pray when we get concerned, and let's trust God. That's the lesson. God is faithful. God will answer us when we cry out to him. Isn't that a better solution than getting mad? I want you kids to show me your maddest, ugliest face you can give me. Really? Come on, Abby. Yeah. Oh, those are a good one. That's not mad. Come on. She naturally smiles. Okay. All right. Now I want you to make a nice big smile for me. Okay. What feels better? The smiling face or the ugly face? Okay. So I want you to think about that when you're at home, and your mom and dad tell you to do something, and you start to think, I don't like this, and you start to put on the ugly face, just think about this. Oh, I'm going to put on the happy face. And please God. What do you think? Will it work? Maybe if you pray about it, right? Okay, let's move on. All right, so this is just a little bit of a review, but God saved them for his name's sake. Sometimes he saves, he does wonderful things for the people's sake. Sometimes he does things for his name's sake. But he saved them not because they deserved it, but because that's what God just loves to do. And he saved them that he might make his mighty power known. God spoke. That's all he did. He spoke to the Red Sea, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Boy, when God leads the way, all those concerning things that were making the people mad, it was no problem for God, was it? God can do anything except fail, right? Except sin. But he can do wonderful things. And so we read this about how he saved them and not one of his, the enemies were left. Then it says, what does it say there? Then they, say it out loud. What is that word?
Believe.
They believed. Then they believed. When did they believe? Before or after God opened up the Red Sea? Aaron, when was it?
After.
After. Now, wouldn't it have been a nice thing if they had believed before?
Yeah.
But they decided to complain and moan and groan, and then God, because God is good, he opened up the Red Sea anyway, and then they believed. Sadly, I have to say that sometimes that's true of me and you and me too. We have to learn. See, there's two ways to learn. The right way or the hard way. Sometimes it seems like we learn the hard way. But anyway, God was merciful. And so, let's move on. So, I want to just remind you of a few things. When Pharaoh took off after the Israelites, I mentioned he had 600 chariots, and they were chasing him down, and they realized that the Red Sea was blocking their escape. They had no escape possible, no human way to get out of this, and they thought they were going to die. They said a terrible thing. They said, did you bring us out in this wilderness to murder us? Wasn't that a terrible thing to say? Do you think that's what God did? Why, he did all those wonderful miracles in Egypt and taught them wonderful things about the Passover so that he could lead them out from slavery and they would become God's people so they could murder them. Was that what God wanted to do? But that's what they accused him of. You see how ugly things can get when we get the wrong attitude? And then they did it again when they saw the Red Sea. They just could not think of anything except how impossible it all was. All right. But God, being merciful, forgave iniquity and did not destroy them. Yet many times he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. That's in Psalm 78:38. So we see that God many, many times is merciful, doesn't give people what they deserve, and he turns his anger away to give us opportunities to repent. All right, would they remember this time, do you think? He opened up the Red Sea. Wouldn't that have been a great thing to see? I mean, we can see this artist here gives us a picture of what it might have looked like. But wouldn't it have been amazing to see that? And then to be able to walk through with the water piled up. Have you ever seen water do that? Could you fill up the sink full of water and just say to the water, part, and then it would just open up and you see all the dirty dishes at the bottom of the sink? Would that be possible? Could God do it? God can do anything. And so right through they went. And but you know what it tells us here? They soon forgot. Look at verse 13 in your Bible. They soon forgot. How could they forget that? That was the most amazing miracle. But they did. And you know what? We do too. We're very forgetful people. And I think it's because a lot of times we're just not thinking about God. We're thinking about other things that seem so important. And we don't take time to remember God. I hope. Now, Ian was telling me that they read a chapter every day. Do you guys read your Bible every day? Yeah. Every day, read your Bible. Somebody was saying one time to Ray Comfort, "Oh, it's so hard for me to read my Bible in the morning." He said, "Do you eat your breakfast in the morning?" "Oh, yeah, like that." He said, "Just make a little rule for yourself. No Bible, no breakfast." Pretty good idea. You know, we need the Bible just as much as our breakfast. You realize that? Because if we don't get Bible, we forget, right? And then starts all those attitude problems. So read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. So we sing, right? All right, let's move on. Verse 14, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. Do you know what lusting is? Anybody have a clue? Anybody? That's a hard word, I guess. Not too long of a word. You have an idea, Abby? Okay, well, I think that you're on the right track. Lusting is when we want things that God doesn't want us to have. In this case, they lusted for the food that they had in Egypt. They started thinking, oh, we're in this wilderness land. There's no gardens here. There's no orchards. There's no blueberry patches. There's no nothing. Everything out here is desolate. Desert, things don't grow in the desert, do they? And they started thinking, what are we going to eat? Do you know how many people there were? They figured. Do you know? Yes, probably a million and a half. They figured. And so they thought, what are we going to eat? And what are we going to drink? Well, was that a problem for God? Was it? No. Nope. But you know what they did? They took their concern, which was okay, but then they got mad, ornering, complaining, and then they started criticizing Moses. They said, "Did you take us out here to kill us, Moses?" And so, you see what caused the problem? Now, what should they have done? Who remembers?
They should have prayed.
They should have prayed and trusted the Lord, right? Remember, God had told them he wanted to take them to the promised land. So do you think God would keep his word and do what he said he would do? What do you think? Nolan, what do you think? Does God keep his promise?
Yeah.
You should say yes. God keeps his promise. And so all this anger and all this stuff, all they did was give themselves a headache, and they gave Moses a headache too. And you know, they really broke God's heart, because God wanted to do so much good for them, but they just couldn't see it. So they said, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Were they accurate in what they were saying and complaining about? No. They really ought to be ashamed. Yep.
They complained wrongly, but the question that they're getting was to complain. But now they're complaining that they don't have any food.
It's kind of a pattern, isn't it? Yep. Alright, but you know what? We come back to this. God being what? merciful, forgave iniquity, and did not destroy them. Yes, many times he turned his anger away and didn't stir up all his wrath. Well, so the Lord said to Moses, he heard all these things. He said, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. In the New Testament, we read that it was like angels' food. Wouldn't that be nice? And that the people should go out and gather a certain quota, that means like a certain amount for their family that God told them to get every day, and then God was going to test them to see whether they would walk in his law or not. So, let's see. Did they remember to walk in God's law? Let's find out. So, God gave them instructions, very specific instructions about this. He said, gather just enough for your household. Don't gather up more than you're for your need. And God provided just exactly what each house needed. On the sixth day, number six day, they were supposed to gather twice as much. Does anybody know why? You know? Right. The seventh day was a day of rest that God had given, and so they would not be going out to gather on the seventh day. So that was the rule, pretty simple. And then God said that this would be every at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. What word do you see four times up there that is a little bit blacker than the rest?
Complaints.
Four times God had to talk to them about complaining. Do you ever get in a habit of complaining? Oh boy. No, I think so. It seems to be our nature, doesn't it? But what should we do rather than when we have a concern and we get mad and we start complaining, what should we stop and do? Aaron, do you remember?
We should pray.
Yes. Remember the Lord and pray, right? Because the Lord knows our concerns. I think we're getting the lesson. Do you think we're getting the lesson? Okay, so then we read that Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. But you know what? They didn't listen. A whole bunch of people tried to save it. They tried to make sure that it would be okay, just in case maybe the Lord doesn't give us manna tomorrow, let's save a little bit. Do you think the Lord would fail to keep his word? No. But they saved it, and it bred worms, and it stunk. Oh, it was disgusting if they tried to save it. Do you think that was God's little reminder to them that maybe not trusting him was a bad way to go? Look at their faces. Are they happy? Their stinking manna, because they tried to save it, turned into worms. And look at their faces. Make that ugly face for me again. All right. Come on. Ugly now. Ooh, yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good. All right. That's what happens when we're not trusting the Lord. We start to become nasty kids and nasty adults. And we start to be moaning and complaining and just all ornery. Well, that's what they were doing. So God tested them, and they didn't do very well on the test. So I got this little application here. We're running a little out of time. But, all right, so you're at the table, and your mother or your dad has made you a nice, looks like, what would you say, is that a salad? Does that look like a broccoli or something like that? Avocados. And down here it looks like jam on bread, maybe? Anyway, are the kids eating their food and thankful for it? Nope. What are they doing? Yeah. Yeah, if they're not grumbling, they will be soon, don't you think? So, you know, God was so merciful, he never quit giving them manna. He gave them manna all the way to the promised land. For 40 years, he gave them manna every day. He never failed. God is so good. And they said it tasted like wafers and like honey. It was really good. And then in the evening, he gave them quail. And thousands of birds came into the camp, and they were able to eat this quail. They could catch them and have something like, I guess it would be like chicken. You like chicken? Anyway, so God was faithful. But, you know, if we disobey our parents at the table, and how does that make our mom and dad feel after they've prepared a nice meal for us and we start complaining about it? What do you think, Abby? Pretty sad, yep. Yep. How do you think God feels when we complain? Sad too. Yeah. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you were going to say, Aaron? Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So, when we are naughty at the supper table, how does that make me feel? Have you ever thought about it? When we're in that way, in that bad way, do you feel good about it? No. I've seen kids, I've seen my own kids, I've seen my grandkids. It looks like it, but I see the ugly face. And I just think, oh, they look so miserable. We should be thankful, shouldn't we? We should learn to give thanks and pray when we have a concern. What would make a bad feeling go away? What do you think? What do you think, Jocelyn? Prayer? Yeah, I think that definitely would be a good step to take. All right, let's move on. So, maybe, you know, it's 5-2. This is another story. Maybe I'll just tell it real quick. There were three men, and this is all part of the psalm. This psalm is like a real quick overview of the children of Israel going through the wilderness. And while they were going, there was a man by the name of Korah. How many of you have heard of Korah before? Okay, Korah was, he was an ambitious guy. He thought he should be a leader of men. But the thing is that God chose Moses to be a leader. Moses was a meek man. He was a humble man. And he was a man who prayed for the people, and was even willing to suffer punishment for the people of God to take their place. He's a good man, he's a faithful man, it says in Hebrews. Korah was another type. He wanted to lead because it made him feel kind of superior, kind of proud. And he said, has the Lord only called you, Moses? Has it he also called us? And he started to talk with people about it. He talked to Dathan and Abiram about his dislike of Moses' leadership. And then Dathan and Abiram started to talk with people. I think they talked with probably 250 priests at least, Levites at least, because later on we find out something that God did when they did this terrible sin. They were rebelling against Moses' leadership. They were speaking against Moses. And they wouldn't cooperate when Moses said, come on out and let's talk about this. He said, we will not come out. And so What happens when does sin? Well, we know it says that they were envious. That means they were jealous. Ever hear the word envy before? They were jealous of Moses. How does the sin of envy become even more wicked? Have an idea about that? Ellie, do you have any ideas about that? What happens if we allow sin to what? What do you think?
Take over.
Well, that's a pretty good answer. Yeah. I was just thinking, what happens if we allow sin to grow? You know, we've been talking about turning from our sin and praying when we have a concern, right? But if we don't turn from sin, if we said, no, I'm not going to pray about this, I think it's all right for me to feel this way. And if we allow that sin to grow, it's going to turn into wickedness. Now, here's an example of how envy looks. How many of you have had a birthday party and you start to feel jealous about what your brother or sister got for their birthday, and you want to have those presents? In fact, you might even start to play with them before your brother or sister got to play with their own birthday present, right? Or what about this little guy? Is he a happy camper because his brother got the ice cream cone? No. And she doesn't like it that her sister is getting all the attention. Right? Has that ever happened to you? You get kind of jealous or envious? See, that's what was happening with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those three guys, they were just jealous. And rather than go to the Lord and pray about it and ask God to help them with their sins and put it away, they let it grow and grow. And pretty soon, it starts to look like the ugly face again, right? Right? So what do we do when this happens? We just stay like that? It's so easy, isn't it? We need to bow down before the Lord, make him get on our knees and say, Lord, I'm really sorry. This is wrong. I confess my sin. And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what happened with Korah is it began with him. He was the first one. Then he talked to his two friends, Dathan and Abiram. And then there were three people involved with sin. And then they talked to 250 more Levites, and then there were 250 involved with sin. And do you know that a plague broke out from the Lord, and that 14,700 people died before the Lord because of one man allowing his sin to grow. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Do you see the problem of sin? And God is righteous. He won't allow it to go on forever. And God will judge sin. So, what has God given us to help us? God's word what? What does God's word do for us? Eliana? It helps us and cleans us up, doesn't it? Makes us think right the way God thinks. So how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to God's word. We better stop. It's time for us to quit. But I want to encourage you, read your Bible every day. It doesn't have to be a long, long passage, but read the Bible and find out if you have a hard time with a word or two, ask somebody to help you, okay? Does that sound like a plan? Okay. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your patience with us, your mercy. Thank you that you don't consume us and that you give us many, many opportunities. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who saves us from all our sin. I pray that you would help us to grow in grace and knowledge of you and not in our sins. So we just pray your blessing on all this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I hope you can all stay for a little dinner and fellowship. Yeah. Well.